This is WHTC in Holland. Time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our guest this morning, Alex Boley from the museum. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
And Alex is here to tell us about some of the things that are going on at the museum. And, of course, if you have questions along the way, you can call us here at 395-1450. We'd be happy to take your questions about the museum. Anything about the museum. Okay, Alex, let's talk a little bit about what's going on at the museum right now. We've got the boat show going on, right?
That's right. Well, it's the boating exhibit. It's called From Craft to Industry, the Boat Builders of Holland. The boat show is actually going to be happening at the end of August. I believe it's August 25th. But right now we have an exhibit in the Witcher's Gallery, which just talks about the history of boat builders in Holland. We talked about it a little bit, I think, last month before it opened, and now that it is open, we've had really good feedback about it. It's been going really well, so we're really excited about that.
And so this is about some of the people that built boats in the Holland area,
right? Mm-hmm.
I guess Chris Craft was the biggest one.
Yeah, yep. We've got a lot of different artifacts and stuff from Chris Craft. We have an actual Wondercraft boat in the exhibit, so you can see that. It's been fully redone. It was actually, there are pictures of it. It was found in a field somewhere.
Really?
And there's pictures of it, what it looked like, and then you can see the boat all completely, looks like it just came off the line. It's really cool.
Yeah. Well, for a while, the Grand Craft, I believe, was making almost exact copies of the old Chris Craft speedboat.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And they were always popular. I don't know why, but those were the most popular ones that cottage owners along the lake had.
Sure. Yeah, the mahogany and the wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were pretty, and you'd go for a nice ride on them and so on, and they were a fantastic boat. But they were costly, even at that time, I think.
That's right, yeah. And we've been trying to do a lot of programming around this exhibit. A couple of weeks ago, we actually had Leon Slickers come in and do a talk at the museum.
Mm-hmm.
If you missed that, we're going to be doing two more throughout the summer. It's called Meet the Builders Speaker Series. And so we'll have two more speakers who are boat builders in Holland that will be coming in and talking about the trade and that kind of thing. I think the next people we'll have, I think it's in September, we'll have the Slys, which I believe they were from Grand Craft.
I think Leon was originally employed at Chris Craft, but...
That's right. And then he started his own...
I think he started in his garage.
Yeah.
And he expanded tremendously from
there.
Yeah,
he definitely did. That's for sure. We also, closing here this month, is the Bentheimer's exhibit. I know we've talked a lot about that.
Yeah.
But if you haven't had a chance to come in and see it, it closes July 22nd. So time's running out on that one. So I'd encourage anyone to go in and check that out.
Yeah, now the Bentheimer's are the ones that came over from a little segment of Dutch, I guess, that were in Germany.
That's right. I think the this county or province or whatever it was that straddled Germany and the Netherlands.
And they landed here and had a town named Bentheim. It's still there, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or an area. I'm not sure it's a town anymore, but...
Right.
All right, 395-1450 is our number. If you have a question this morning, you can give us a call. Our lines are open. And let's take a moment to look at the time here. Earl's Meats time is 9:36. Venison jerky and venison snack sticks now available in Earl's retail store. Come and get them. Sounds good, huh? 395-1450. And we're talking with Alex this morning about we will have a question also a little later on. Some question about the museum, which we will give everyone out there a chance to answer. And let's talk a little bit about the Bentheimer's. How is that being received? Is that pretty popular exhibit?
Yeah. When it first opened up, it was really well received. We had the Bentheimer's, some sort of Bentheimer's association that is active in the community. They were all present, and they were really excited about the exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a lot of people come in and find sort of realize that they actually had they're not a Dutch heritage, but they're of a Bentheimer's heritage. So it's pretty interesting. If you're interested in that type of thing, heritage, lineage, and ancestry, and that type of thing, it's a really interesting exhibit to.
Now these people almost had to be able to speak both Dutch and German.
Right, yeah. I'm pretty sure they did both speak that, and I think they also spoke sort of their own version of German, which I think was called Plattdeutsch.
Plattdeutsch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. 395-1450 here, and let's talk a little bit about some of the upcoming exhibits that we have coming up in this next. Few weeks or months?
That's right. So the first weekend in August, we'll have our new exhibit that will be replacing the Bentheimer's exhibit in the Focus Gallery, and that's called Harnessing the Wind. And that's going to open up August 3rd. And if you're a member, we will be doing a member's preview on Thursday, August 1st, from 5:30 to 7. Harnessing the Wind is going to be an exhibit that takes a look at the famous Dutch icon, the windmill, from past to present.
Mm-hmm.
Our community is an example of the windmill's history. We have the De Zwaan here in Holland, which is can still be used to grind grain like they were used, back in the day. And then we also, on the other hand of that, we also have sort of what we're calling the future of the windmill and wind turbines as a alternative clean energy source, and we have the Energetics company that is actually making wind turbines here in Holland. So we have both the past and
right
and the future.
For a long time, the IXL shop made windmills, farm windmills for pumping water, and that's what they're mostly used for.
Mm.
And still a few towers around, but I don't know, not very many operating windmills.
Yeah, that's right.
The reason is there are not very many operating windmills because you have to get up on the platform and grease them every once in a while.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they make a lot of noise in the wind.
Yeah.
All right. The windmills we have today, of course, are these huge things that you see dotting the landscape, usually in groups now.
That's right, yeah. They usually when an area is set up to be what they call them a wind farm. For a wind farm, they'll put a cluster of them just so they can take advantage of as much wind power as they can. But they are extremely large. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the turbines being transported down the highway, but
the blades are about 160 feet long,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah. And they vary in range as well. So there are some different sizes. There are some really, really tall ones and some not. So it all depends on what the wind is like and if they're going to be put up on a hill or if they're
mm-hmm.
on a flat land. I think that all that is taken into account when they decide how tall the windmill needs to be and how long the blades are. So I think there is some variance there. But, yeah, they're always extremely large.
Yeah, I was out in Palm Springs, and they have a whole acres and acres and acres of windmills out there in one spot. And I asked a friend of mine who lives out there, I said, do you get your energy from that? He said, no, that's too expensive.
Mm.
So he hadn't never hooked up to it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that is one of the problems, I guess, right now with the wind power as it's kind of getting started is it can be somewhat more expensive than some of the traditional energy sources.
Well, the city of Holland has now made available electricity generated by wind, but you have to pay a premium price for
mm-hmm.
it. They have to pay for the original investment, of course, and that's
right.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of infrastructure investment up front.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about our local museum this morning. If you have a question, 395-1450 is the number. And we've been talking about the windmills and You can see more about the windmills at the museum come August, right?
The exhibit opens August 3rd. We're going to be having it's called Harnessing the Wind.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to have one of those big windmills in there, are you?
No. That would be pretty impressive, but I don't think we could pull that off. Much too big for the museum. But a little bit more about the history of the windmill. At one time there were about 10,000 windmills in the Netherlands. That was around 200 years ago. Now today, only about 10% of those remain, and many of them were destroyed in World War II.
Yeah.
But then, of course, sort of a lot of the rest of them. The main reason why they fell out of favor was because wind power, when steam power came along, wind power was no longer favorable. So they just became a more powerful, more efficient way to. You didn't have to, if the wind wasn't blowing, you didn't have to worry about it because you could always have power.
Yeah. But now we're back to wind again, I guess.
Right.
Aren't we?
That's right. Yeah, and that's one of the. One of the ideas of the exhibit is this idea of the past and how they used wind power, and then it fell out of favor and now it's coming back into favor again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to be a really interesting exhibit, and it'll be great to see. It's really interesting seeing the typical windmill idea that you have in your head, the Dutch windmill, and seeing that juxtaposed next to these very modern, tall, sleek, all monochromatic white windmills that are used to produce power today, and just seeing the two different styles, but they're using the same power source from the wind. So,
mm-hmm. But they do need maintenance once in a while, and that's something that you have to cope with as well.
Oh yeah, that's true. I think for both windmills. I mean, I think even our windmill here is
needs maintenance, doesn't it?
Needs maintenance.
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting. Yeah, they both seem to be machines that require a lot of maintenance.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe it has something to do with just the nature of the wind and being a force of nature that you can't really
control.
Well, you
have this big machine up on a tower, and you have to get up there and do the oiling and greasing it so it operates without any noise. Some relatives of mine lived up in Minnesota and lived very near a windmill, and they said it could get very noisy sometimes if they didn't grease it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, especially if when the wind's really blowing and the turbines are spinning pretty fast.
Sure. How long is the windmill exhibit going to be up at the windmill at the museum?
The windmill exhibit is going to go through December, I believe.
Through December?
Yeah. And then I don't have on my calendar right now what will be coming in next. I know what will be replacing the boating exhibit at the first of the year is going to be an exhibit, a furniture exhibit, that I think is we're going to be focusing on the manufacturing of furniture in the Holland area, which obviously has a long history as well.
A lot of the old timers will remember that one.
Yeah. So hopefully we're hoping to really, really grasp that. Looking back at the history of manufacturing and where it's been, and the really interesting and different types of things that the Holland community has been involved with as far as manufacturing goes. There's really a number of really interesting products that that Holland has been a part of producing.
For a time, when I was very young, I could remember just about only furniture factories and the sugar beet factory that were operating in Holland. So, they were big for a while, furniture, definitely. And now we don't have much in the way of furniture factories anymore. But
that's right.
And even Grand Rapids doesn't have much in the way of furniture manufacturing anymore. All right, 395-1450, our number here. Let's talk about our friends over at McIntyre Technologies. Now, we still have it called McIntyre Technologies, but Carl Folkert, who worked for McIntyre Technology, has split off And Carl now has the Black Lake Home Tech. Now, what that does is Carl does the work on home computers, and that means you have to call Carl if you have a home computer that has a problem. And MacIntosh Technologies will primarily take care of business and computers that are signed up with them for regular maintenance, and if they need servers or networks or disaster recovery installed, they can do all that at MacIntosh Technologies. You simply call them for that service. And if you need service on your computer at home, you call Carl at Black Lake Home Tech. Carl's phone number is 796-4536. That's 796-4536. MacIntosh Technologies. And with their help, your life will be much easier. All right. 395-1450, our number here on Talk the Town. Let's do our question, shall we, and see if we get an answer.
Yeah. So our question, trivia question, is Holland's Lighthouse is one of its most famous landmarks. When was the current structure completed?
I don't know that either. When was the current structure completed? The year we're looking for, right?
Yep, we want a year.
Okay. Well, you can even guess at that, so give us a call, 395-1450. When was the lighthouse ended? When did it, was it up and running? Good morning, you're on the line.
Yeah, I want to know where I can buy tart cherries in Holland.
I don't have an answer for that, but you might try Vischer Farms.
Oh, no, they don't. They have strawberries.
Yeah, strawberries, no, no. I don't know. I don't know where they're available now, but maybe we can find out later for you, okay?
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you. I thought maybe she had an answer, but she didn't have. Okay. Yeah. All right. When was the lighthouse completed? The lighthouse structure, big red. Give us an answer. What you might think it might be, there, somebody might have it exact, 395-1450. We're looking for the year in which the lighthouse was finished, and it was yellow, I believe, at first. When it went up. And, okay, I think we got a caller coming in now. Good morning, you're on the line.
Hi, I'm just going to take a guess. I
All right.
have no idea. Let's say 1870.
1870.
Nope, that's a little too early.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Try again, 395-1450 here. When you think was the lighthouse finished, ready for service, with the light blinking and everything? 395-1450. Well, we'll continue with our discussion here, and if anybody knows or are looking it up, that could be too. Some people look it up. The lighthouse date. Okay, we got another call coming in. Let's see if that one has the correct date for us. Good morning. You're on the line.
Yeah, I just wanted to give the year for the lighthouse completion.
Yeah.
It's 1932.
Ooh, nope.
No. Sorry. Sorry. By the way, the correct answer will get 4 tickets to the museum. Use whenever you want to. Okay, got another call coming in. Good morning. Good morning. Okay, we didn't have a call coming in there, I guess. 395-1450. Dial up our number, 395-1450, and see if you have the correct answer for us, okay? Good morning, Dr. Stone.
Yes. Was the lighthouse built in 1907?
That's correct.
1907. You got the
you
number.
Got
okay. Can we have your name, please?
Yeah. Gerald Brinks.
Gerald Brink?
Brinks with an S.
Oh, Brinks. Okay. Okay. Those passes will be at the museum. You can pick them up and use them whenever you want to, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You got her name there? And
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations on getting that. I didn't know exactly what year it was. I knew about when it was, but I think it happened before I was born. Okay, we've got some more things to talk about here.
Yeah, well, we've got a fun little event coming up that I'd like to say a little bit about. It's called our Frontier Days, and it's one of the one of the few events that we do at the Settler's House. So if you're not familiar with the Settler's House or haven't been out in a while, this would be a great event to come out for, bring your family out for. It's July 20th from 11:30 to 3:30. And we're just going to have a bunch of activities going on for families that just kind of talks about the Settler's House and gets them involved and learning about what early life in Holland was like when it was first settled. We'll be doing things like old fat kids can experience what it was like to haul water from in pails and do old fashioned chores like that that they probably never have done before. They'll also be making some corn husk dolls. And there'll be also a little archaeology project going on as well. So a lot of just crafts and activities for kids to kind of learn a little bit about early life in Holland.
Got a call here. Good morning. Good morning, you're on the line. Good morning, you're on the line.
Hi. I wondered when the boat exhibit started and ended, or will start and end.
When the boat exhibit started and ended.
Yeah, the boat exhibit is actually currently on view, and it's going to go through December 30th.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you.
Are we going to have a day when all the boats are out in front?
That's right. Yeah, that's the boat show.
That
happens August 25th.
August 25th.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
From
that's
10
a big day.
To 4. It is a big day.
Yeah. Okay. Got another call here, I guess. Good morning. You're on the line.
Hey, good morning. Hey, you guys are talking about the Settler's House. This last school year, helped out some of the students volunteering, you know, taking them to the Settler's House from Eagle Crest. And my son was on one of those tours, and I do learn a lot of stuff. And a lot of the kids took it to heart. And, it was funny. One of the kids said, you know, did they have PSP, you know, Super PlayStation and stuff back then? And we're looking around, and they had nothing like what you guys got now. Compared then to you guys now, so you guys are wealthy, you know. And so these people lived, you know, they needed food. They grew their own food. You know, they needed clothes. They sold their own clothes. All the materials inside the settler home, you know, and was it the bigger home, it was a lot of information that was well put together, items that I haven't seen since I was a little kid, and I'm only 38, so there's a lot of history in there, so it is worth the time and donations to get in there and check out, you know, that spot, and it puts us back to where, you know, we're almost where we should be.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Are you still doing digging at the settler's home?
I'm not sure.
We did some digging out there for a while to get some of the old whatever they had and dumped in the backyard, I guess.
Yeah. I think that might be what one of the activities is. Maybe not actually looking for the real artifacts, but just I think sort of talking about that during that frontier days.
This is how the people that were not well off lived.
Mm-hmm.
And in a rather small space, and I guess you had to do that because your lights were not electric lights. They were usually oil lamps or something like that.
Yeah, it would have been hard to light a really big place.
Yeah, and that it just shows how they lived. And then you go to the Capon House and see how the wealthier people lived.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we've got both ends of the spectrum, and it is really interesting to see those two. And you can see them in the same day and on the same ticket if you come down to the museum. I think it's just $5 to go through both the Capon House and the Settler's House. And those are always open on Fridays and Saturdays during the summer from, I think, 10 to 5.
And Frontier Days will be July 20th. That's coming up pretty quick.
That's right, yep. July 20th from 11:30 to 3:30. I believe it is a free event. So bring the family out and learn a little bit about the early settlers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what hours is the Settler's House normally open?
I believe they're the same hours as the Capon House.
Capon
when the
House.
Capon House is open, yeah. Mm-hmm. So 10 to 5 is Friday and Saturday.
Okay. So if you want to make a real day of it, you can visit the museum and the Capon House and the Settler's House and really learn a lot about historical Holland.
That's right. We've got a lot going on.
Got another call here. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
No, no, Duke. Somebody called about tart cherries.
Yeah.
And I just found out that Decline's Orchard, which is, you know, out Byron Road to 32nd Street,
okay.
They're picking tart and also sweets Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday this week.
Oh, okay.
So if anybody is interested, okay?
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Okay. We got that answered, too.
Yeah, that's great. I know the gentleman that called in, he'd mentioned he had volunteered once and bringing
yes.
some of the kids out to the Settler's House, and I do believe we are still looking for some volunteers if you're interested in helping out with that Frontier Day. So if you're interested in history and you like working with kids, it would be a great day to come out and volunteer your time and help the museum out.
Call or stop in.
It's a real okay. great event. Yep, just give us a call.
Very good. We're about out of time. Thank you, Alex, for being our guest today here on Talk of the Town.
Thank you.
Bring us up to speed on what's going on at the local museum.